You guys ever watch Futurama?
It's like I always say, make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver, and the other's gold.
Today on RTC, we're formally introducing our new friend, very own Reddit robot Liam. He's our silver, get the Bender reference now. As for the gold, maybe it's more of a yellow, like the stripes of a hornet. I had the privilege of sitting down for a conversation with one of my all-time favorite content creators, a voice that's bound to evoke some serious Clash nostalgia.
What is up, guys? Jake from One Hive.
Doing my best to help you guys suck less.
We had a great chat earlier this week. I'm going to drop that as a companion episode to this one right now. So if you haven't seen it, it is in your podcast feed already. Apologies to everyone here in the live audience. You'll have to go find that out and download it. I'm Rick. Joining me this morning are Spencer and, of course, the man of the hour, Liam. We're the Mods of Clash subreddit. Thanks for joining us today for Reddit Talks Clash.
What are we calling? Is this a podcast?
Red. It's awesome. Clash.
We've had Liam with us for the whole season so far, and we haven't really given him a solid introduction yet. So I figured we'd take care of that first. Meet our new friend, Liam. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everyone?
All right. So hi, everyone. My name is Liam, or on Reddit, as I'm known, Vanessa Baxton, Lockstory. I've been playing Clash for a while. Joined the mod team back in somewhere 2 years ago, I think. 1 year ago, maybe. I really enjoy the game. I'm free to play. I love the community as well, and that's mostly the social aspect what's kept me going all these years. I've got lots of accounts. I've created a lot of them just to when we could do Hammer Jam for Town Hall 2s back in the day. And that's pretty much it. I love free things. I'm all about more loving kindness in the world and having people be more kind to each other. That's about it.
Yeah, I know you always say you're an effective altruist, kind of just like Sam Bankman-Fried was, right? Is that he kind of he was your idol, correct?
Okay, no, not at all. So I actually read this book called 80,000 Hours, and I discovered this community, Effective Altruism, a while back. It's basically about how to do the most good or the most effective good with your time, especially because you have, during your career, 80,000 hours, and the goal is to figure out how best to spend those hours. It seems to me like that whole Sam Bankman-Fried story, he was involved in the community and it was a whole disappointment. They also have a podcast. It's a shame when you have people that aren't honest and aren't truthful, and then they kind of damage the whole reputation of the brand or the community. That's always unfortunate. But I enjoy the brand and I like what they stand for, and it's good not to discredit an entire community because of one person, just like we wouldn't do that just because of one content creator or one person here.
Awesome. Okay, that kind of leads me into my next bit. There's been a few times over the years where people have like sent me a message and they're like, dude, what's the deal with this guy?
Yeah,
Spencer knows what I'm talking about. Like, I was telling him, hey, Liam is a super nice guy, helpful to a fault. You got to be careful. You got to be careful how you speak to him, because he will, like, months ago, I remember I said, hey, like, I'm trying to level up this clan, and, it's just going really slow, just kind of BSing with you, and then you brought 50 accounts to do all the clan capital raids every week and all the clan games every month, just out of wanting to help, and just that insane overreaction of effort. So I know, like, I always need to be careful how I ask you to do things, because I don't want you to kill yourself trying to accomplish some random thought I had.
That's totally a fair point.
Spencer, do you have any random Liam anecdotes that you think sum him up as a person?
I mean, very similar to what you just said. I think there was this one time I just asked Liam, like, have you seen this movie? And then he responds with, starting it right now. and he watched the entire movie. He's like, okay, done.
Like, I made some offhand comment about, like, a question about the Pineapples and Thorns podcast. And then, like, 4 days later, Liam's like, okay, I listened to all 60 episodes and here are the timestamps that answer your question.
Yeah.
I mean, the way I see it, it's like you have a problem to solve, and I enjoy solving problems. Therefore, the natural conclusion is that I'm just going to go and solve the problem, and there you go. You know, like it's I know you, like, it's not like you asked me to do it, but it's because I enjoy solving problems and helping people. And if I can do both of those things at the same time, then that's a win-win, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, we are glad to add you as a host going forward. I kind of picture you being more of like the Clan Capital guy that we go to when we're talking Clan Capital stuff, because I know that's one of your bigger things, like clan management a little bit. But I don't know. We'll, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole you, and we'll let it play out. But glad to have you here as a co-host. But on to Clash Talk. We just finished up the Super Troop event, and we're now in the middle of Rubble Rumble. So let's talk about those two. For the Super Troop event, they kind of mix it up a little bit. They put progress was gained through getting stars. You know, 1, 2, 3 stars gave a different amount of resources, and you got a bonus if you use super drags. How do you guys feel about that method of progress compared to, you know, getting them out of specific buildings that, like, we've done the past 3 times?
I thought it went really well with the idea of the event, just spotlighting a super troop. I was able to just make a super troop. I mean, a super dragon army, and then use it. And I got that resource up really fast.
I really enjoyed it, especially because when you have, like, when it's just the Grand Warden and the Clan Castle, then, you know, players tend to put the Grand Warden altar and Clan Castle on the outside to help, try to help. Then again, I don't know how many players have put the Town Halls on the outside. That's what I've done to try to help people get more stars. I like how it's based on stars, because that's a normal progression of the Bane and the main goal for most players. So that's a pretty nice change this time. And the Super Dragon is amazing, because that means I don't have to use a super potion or anything for clan games. So yeah, I really enjoy the new event, and I look forward to seeing more Super Troop events in the future.
How many accounts did you finish it on, Liam?
Just one, actually. I never do the events on more than one account, because that would take way too much time, and it's just not worth it.
I keep telling myself, like, someday I'm going to have to stop doing it on all my alts, and I haven't.
How many did you do it on? 14?
I do it on my 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, my 14, and my main. Jeez. So 8 accounts. And I don't, wow. So, and I've completed the bonus track on all of them for all events so far. And I know, like, I know that's not sustainable, but it hasn't stopped me yet. But also, I don't, like, this last one, it's still, there's this weird, like, mental hang up I have on it too, because it felt like the worst one so far, having to triple every attack, not being able to, like, snipe specific resources. But also, I finished it faster on all accounts than all of them previously. So it felt worse, but it was objectively faster and easier. So I don't know, like, where my mental hangup is on that.
Yeah, I liked how fast it was able to complete the track. But looking back at, like, the December event and the October event, being able to farm a special resource, that was just fun on its own. But doing that month after month, that definitely got a little bit old. So I'm glad they tried something in that regard.
Fairy told us last episode that they were going to use these Super Troop events kind of as filler in between larger events. And I'm pretty okay with that. It's going to lead to some interesting months, and it's probably going to lead to some dorky months. Like, if we do a Super Valk month, that one's going to feel weird and terrible.
Oh, gosh.
I don't like, but also, too, having Super Valks at Town Hall 8 might make it go super fast and easy. I don't know, because obviously we've never played with those troops that low. Super drags at Town Hall 8, 9, 10, 11 were stupid easy. It was like automatic triples, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
The one good thing I liked about this event was that when you want to farm the what's called the elixir, special elixir, you don't actually have to drop trophies because you're getting stars. So that's one of the good things they kind of improved on that.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Like, I know you said you finished it faster than previous events. Did you track how long it took you?
No, but, like, I will say I also approached it differently, because I knew that, We were starting with a high amount of resources from the start. They originally told us that the resources weren't going to increase throughout the week, that it would be static, and then that ended up not being the case. So I was planning on hitting it hard from the start instead of stalling and doing it all at the end. So that might be part of it too. In the last couple of events, I know I just would throw down some training potions and power through it in the last couple of days when the resources were at their highest. It felt a lot more like a hard grind this time.
Did you buy the fireball on all your accounts?
I did not on my 8, 9, and 10, but I did on my 11 plus. Like, so yeah, so all the accounts that could, that can use a fireball, I did buy it.
Well, yeah, I bought it on my main, but I haven't even touched it.
Are you going to upgrade and use it?
I think I gave it a few levels of upgrade, but I don't know. It's weird because with these events, there's this epic equipment, but you don't know, you know, if it's going to be good or not, or if it's going to replace something you're already using. So it's hard to buy it when, and then you're not even going to use it, you know.
So I've seen some interesting uses with it, going with like Super Witches, which just got a big buff. So I'm saving ore and I'm going to take it as close to max as possible, but like all at once. So as soon as I'm full of shiny, I'll be able to get it to like level 24, and then just another couple days, and I already have the glowy and starry to finish it. I'll just need the extra shiny, but I'm just kind of kicking that can down the road, because every time there's a new epic equipment release, there's this cycle of like people immediately say, hey, it's overpowered, and then more videos come out saying it's terrible, and then a couple days later even more videos come out saying no, it's actually good. I'm just trying to wait and see where it lands. I've played with it in the dev build at max, and I can find uses for it. I think it's enough to get me off the training wheels that are root riders, which is really all I'm looking for lately too, is just because it's not fun doing root riders all the time, but I also feel compelled because it's the attack I'm most confident in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that Fireball kind of changes that.
Yeah, I had really high hopes for the Fireball. When you and I were in Finland, the dev we talked to kept bringing this Fireball up, and he was excited about it. Seeing the video of it on the info screen, I'm like, dang, this one's crazy. But I think it's just, maybe it's too niche or something. I don't know.
Like, the way I'm seeing it used is as part of a Warden Walk. So, like, I've been playing with a Super Witch attack before, but it was like Zap Super Witches just to take out a big, you know, chunk of a base and start some pathing. The problem I was always having there is, like, I needed an extra spell for a jump to get the Super Witches through a base. But now that I can use the Fireball instead of the Zaps in, you know, to the same effect, now I have spell space to help those witches get through a base. And that's what I'm going to hopefully be trying to use during CWL next week, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I did see one post kind of explain that the Fireball kind of changes the Grand Warden, because before he's always been a very support hero. He's been able to support your army, but now with the Fireball, it takes that support away from it and makes him more of an offensive hero. And they were saying you should just use Apprentice Wardens if you're going to use the Fireball at all.
It does change the Warden Walk a bit. And the thing that makes me say that is in that event challenge where they kind of introduced the Fireball, it showed how the huge potential that you can get with like destroying a whole section. And Ninja said that he just said in the chat that it will make Warden Walks more powerful, which was the impression I got from them as well.
Pretty much everyone I'm seeing is doing Fireball with Rage Gem as part of a Warden Walk to just establish the first part of that funnel, and then you have the Rage Gem throughout, and obviously Rage Gem helps the healers in the Warden Walk, and then it helps the healers throughout the entire rest of the attack too. It's not as good with Super Bowlers, it would seem, because Super Bowlers I think need that the Healing Tome or the Eternal Tome. Super Witches continually regenerate their own tanks, so they don't really need it as much, which is why I think it's going to work with Super Witches, or so is the hope, you know? Like, so that's what the YouTubers I watch are claiming, that's what I've kind of toyed with in the dev build, and I'm hoping it keeps up.
Did they recently nerf Super Witches?
No, they got a buff, so, like, they will respawn Witches across everything will respawn their troops quicker.
Mm-hmm. Well, time to switch to super witches, I guess.
Try it out. I mean, there's a blueprint video on it pretty recently. Itsu did a video on it pretty recently. Like, it's something to look into. What are you using anyway, Liam, on your main, at least, on your 16?
At the moment, I'm using Root Riders. I will admit I was using Edrex before, but that's just because I was, like, leveling up my heroes, and I didn't want to, like, spend a lot of time, like, focusing on attacks. I just wanted to spam crit and get my loot. But now I'm using Root Raiders, and while I'm still leveling up my heroes, for me, my logic has always been there's no point in trying to master an attack until I have max heroes, and so I'm just kind of grinding my way to max heroes, and then I'll focus on strategic attacking and placement and stuff.
All right. Do you guys have anything else to add on the Super Troop event?
Nope. Let's go to Rumble.
So I know this is the part of this episode I was looking forward to most, because I think this is probably a first where Spencer might be more critical of something than I am. So I want to hear your take on Rumble, Spencer.
You know, I just saw the chat and Sid really summed it up well. Rumble is an event? It's this community event. Let me give a quick background to where there's community milestones. You have to destroy town halls, and they add up, something like that, right? The awards being ores and magic items, I think. But if we're just comparing this to, like, the last few events we've had, or even the Cold Pass or clan games, this is more far out there in terms of what you can do. My motivation to even consider this event is zero. Like, let's just say I grind town halls. I grind 5 town halls every day. Okay, great. Now I have, 30 town halls I'm contributing to the millions and millions of players that are out there. You know, like, what you do doesn't feel like you're doing anything. And you don't see real-time updates from what you do. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I will backtrack, because in order to get credit for the thing I'll explain in a minute, I think we do have to go through the technical aspects of the event. But yeah, it's you destroy town halls, and that all goes into the global total. And if we get to 450 million town halls destroyed by March 29th, then we unlock, you know, whatever tier of event, 1, 2, or 3. There's going to be rewards along the way. There's already been a gift of 1,000 shiny ore, a very, very generous gift of 1 legend day of shiny ore. And we hit the first tier. And now there's also a code available for a free training potion. So if you have not actually seen those two, I'll put both links to claim those rewards. Those will be in the show notes of this episode. And yeah, Supercell said they're going to share some freebies along the way too. So follow them on Twitter or whatever. Advertising. Yeah, I don't know. Like, are you changing your playstyle to do anything different for this event? Or is it just something that's happening in the background for you?
It's completely happening in the background. Because with other events, you can actively do something and then get a reward or see your progress through an event. This one is so broad. And if I attack, okay, I just mentally make a note. Okay, I just contributed 1 more town hall to the millions and millions of town halls being destroyed.
Like, I'm not even giving it that much thought. Like, I'll find out what event we cleared through Reddit instead of through game. Like, I'm not pushing extra for town halls. I'm not playing extra for this. I'm not gonna give extra effort to be 1/1,000,000th of, you know, a exactly contributor, you know, towards this. And like, Supercell has the data anyway. They know the time frame. Like, they know the activity during clan games. Like, they know whether we're going to get that third tier or not already. Like, they must have known or had a good idea. You know,
oh, yeah.
So, which makes it kind of hilarious, too. That, you know, along with if we get to third tier, there's an additional 500 shiny and 100 glowy ore that we'll get with the third tier only, with the 4-time star bonus. And who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have 200 days of ore progress to go, and this is like a day and a half off that time. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good point, but because, like, I wonder, what could Supercell do to like make people more involved or make people care more? And I was thinking maybe have That's like if question. You had a leaderboard which like showed like, oh, you know, Spencer destroyed a total of 150 town halls, meaning that he is like the top 1% contributor or something. Would that like incentivize people to climb up the leaderboard? Because leaderboard or being number one is definitely something people care about. 100%. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, if there was a global or in local leaderboard for town halls destroyed, I think that could definitely help the event bring more people into grinding. Especially because the last time we did some sort of event with the leaderboard, people were going crazy about that. And I'm referencing the 10th Clash Anniversary, or no, the Clash Fest events. I can't remember what they're from.
I think anytime you have a leaderboard on something, there are going to be a certain subset of people who go try hard mode and try and be on top of it. I don't know that it's going to motivate everyone to try harder and get on it, but it's certainly going to give some people something to push for more than this. And I know like this is the first time they've done one of these big global challenges like this, kind of, or the second time, I guess, because they did with the envelopes or whatever it was, the lunar event, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we failed to meet the top goal. And so hopefully they made this one achievable.
But they still gave us rewards.
Yeah, but even the rewards that were like, if you know, the rewards for that were like, if the community gets to 650 billion envelopes or whatever, we're going to give 10 random people a book or something. It was still like a nothing amount of reward. It's just, it's wild to me. Like the total ore we're getting out of Rubble Rumble is 1500 shiny and 100 glowy, maybe. You know, as long as we get to the last tier, like how valuable is that to Supercell? Like, why is that a prize worth pushing for or being excited for? I don't get it. Like, I asked, like, is this something you guys feel is generous? And you know, I didn't get an answer, of course, but it's just weird.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I really love the statistics aspect of it. So like, you can kind of see how we're doing as a whole community. I just wish it were more alive or live real time. But yeah, I suppose it's an effort in trying to make the community work together towards a greater goal, kind of like how we can sometimes try to get the whole Reddit community on board with something. So I don't know, that's one analogy I was thinking of.
The one thing I noticed is some people are really like not necessarily taking this event seriously, but enjoying this event. You know, I've seen posts on the subreddit and on Twitter saying, oh, let's all put our town halls outside our base, and people were kind of hyped about that, and I thought that was nice. But yeah, on my side of things, that's just not there. Like, I'm not gonna be bothered to move my town hall or make a conscious effort to destroy more town halls. You know, I'm just gonna play the game.
It's cool to see people wanting to come together as a community for it, I guess, but also, you're like, yeah, that's a push on Reddit to have, you know, a couple thousand, maybe, people put their town halls outside isn't going to make any significant progress toward this at all. So, I mean, maybe I'm just being too cynical, but I don't know. Like, my big problem with it, too, is just it shows how out of touch they are with the value of ore. because it's not an amount that gets anyone excited, but yeah, I'm still baffled. Like, I want to know, like, is this the amount of ore that we're going to get, is that something they think is generous? Is it because people were complaining and they added it last second just to shut us up? Mm-hmm. Or I don't know. I'm so confused.
So as an eternal optimist, I like to think that it's not intentionally, like, it's more that they're trying new things and trying to see what works. And so, for example, this community, second time they're doing this, they're trying to see if it's going to work again. And maybe they're building their way up with, like, they're giving small, they're starting small with or rewards, and then they're going to go increase it as they go on. But it's more like they have to test these things and, you know, make these mistakes and fail miserably and then see how to improve it. So it's not like if they're completely out of touch, I just feel like maybe that's too pessimistic, but I could be wrong.
Yes and no, because they are fumbling their way through this, obviously, and hopefully they're learning and getting better. But they also have an example, you know, because these are clearly based off the Brawl Stars events. and the Brawl Stars rewards are being received very positively, and they, you know, it's, there's no way to one-for-one compare, but clearly they can see the level of rewards that Brawl Stars is giving and that effect on the community, and they have to know they're so out of touch with what they're giving us right now. Like, there's no way that they can't hop on an elevator, you know, get on an internal Slack chat with somebody from Brawl Stars and say, like, hey, like, how did you guys arrive at this number? You know, okay, yeah, we'll just use that same map and copy it over. It's crazy.
Yeah,
true. But maybe there's room for improvement in the future thanks to this.
Also, random conspiracy theory time too. I was trying to look up the numbers for the Rubble Rumble event, and when you Google Rubble Rumble, one of the pages that Google takes you to is a deleted Supercell page for Rubble Rumble 2. Is the URL? But when you show there, it's page not found. So maybe there's already been plans for a second Rubble Rumble.
Yeah, interesting.
It is interesting.
With hopefully better rewards.
I just feel like these community type events are just not worth it.
Like, and they could be, and they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Supercell is always really slow to learn. So I think I'm willing to give them benefit of the doubt and be patient and let them fumble their way through it a little more. But yeah, it's baffling. All right, we had a couple posts. Yeah, we had a couple posts on Reddit. Oh, let me backtrack for a second too. Also, we're gonna be sharing this on YouTube. We started actually updating the Reddit Talks Clash YouTube channel. So if you want to enjoy the podcast as a video, that's now an option. And also, if you actually watch the video, we could probably end up doing a giveaway on the next episode too. So anyone who's listening, please also go pop a view on the YouTube video as well, and that would be really cool for us. But anyway, now moving on, there's a couple Reddit posts that I know we wanted to go over to. Which one do you guys want to do first?
Ranked mode.
Okay, yeah. All right, we will talk ranked mode first. So Godly, who is here or not? Yes. So this is something Godly posted a while ago that we all thought was an interesting idea. Do you want to walk us through it, one of you two?
So essentially, it's about having a new kind of mode, like practice mode. But well, I'll start with the introduction and just reading the post. So Tunnel 16 is easy. So why do players still fail? Most players lack basic attacking fundamentals. And then it's essentially about having a new game mode called ranked mode, which is a competitive tournament game mode, unlike that Tunnel 7. And then you have access to it through the events tab. And it has like tournaments, so kind of like raid weekends, where it's like a for 7 days, like an event, and it lets you build your or copy villages, and it's from what I understand, it's like a competitive mode, and then it'll be based on Legend League trophies and Builder Base trophies. Yeah, I mean, I personally enjoy it. Like the idea. And it sounds like it could be a nice thing to test out. Then again, I don't know if we need a new event and a new, another thing to add on to Clan Capital, Clan Games, Clan War League, stuff like that. So, yeah, what do you think?
If something like this replaced Clan Games, I'm done with Clan Games. I'm so over Clan Games. They're pointless. They take forever. They need to be replaced with something else. But
what are you talking about, Rick? I love Clan Games. You get free rewards.
You're the only player who likes Clan Games.
Clan Games are the best. I get to use all my super troops and free rewards. It's awesome.
You're crazy. You're insane. How many accounts do you do to 4K per Clan Games, Liam?
Per month? It really depends. Like, when I have lots of free time, I get to about, like, maybe 67 accounts.
To max points.
Yeah, to max full 4K, yeah. But that's mostly because I'm trying to help clans finish their clan games, get to 50K. I never do it just for myself. I do it to help clans finish their tiers. But when I have less time, like right now, for example, I'm a bit less time. So right now I'm just at 27 accounts at the moment.
That is, I am pressed for time. So I only did 27 accounts to max.
Yeah, I mean, The thing is, it's not like I don't even spend that much time doing it. It's all about efficiency and figuring out like little tips and tricks to get it done way faster than normal. Kind of like Clan Capital as well. Like I always quit the app and, you know, stuff like that. I always pick builder-based challenges, use your other accounts to trash other challenges. Like I have a whole system. It's down to a formula.
How long does it take you per account? Have you like timed yourself or averaged it?
No, because I mean, doing one account really fast, that's easy to do. Anyone can pretty much do it. And you always see Reddit posts about it, like, oh, I finished first in 10 minutes or whatever. And, you know, that's also based on luck, kind of. Like, if you set it up well, you can get 2 super troop challenges, get those done really quickly. But for me, I'm more interested in total, how many points are you doing? Because that's more useful and more helpful, I feel like. So I'd say maybe the fastest I did one in time was like maybe less than half an hour, but I wasn't really trying. I was just going through it.
So much time.
I mean, you can do it faster when you like trash the bad challenges with accounts that you've already finished at 3,900. So like as soon as I never finish accounts at 4K, and I leave them at 3,900, and then I use those accounts every 10 minutes to trash challenges. So that really speeds up the process as well.
Anyway, back to Godly's post too. So the way I read it, and correct me if I'm wrong here in the chat, please, was essentially like a little mini week-long Legends League tournament, and each month would be like a different town hall. So there could be this month for a week, you are given a side base, like a town hall 9, for you to build a base, and perhaps there's different balancing of troops within it, and then you just do like a Legends League tournament at town hall 9. Off to the side, and you earn awesome rewards if you are in the top whatever percent, or, you know, however it's broken down. But to me, this is Warships from Boom Beach, which is, I've been saying for years, like, we need to steal Warships. Boom Beach, let it die, or don't, but whatever, we need to steal Warships. Oh, so Godly's saying every single week is a new one, and that's too much for me. Like, to do this, to do a different side base every single week is, that's a lot. But I do like the idea of being given a separate small base that resets constantly. It could be, you can dork with balance there. You can test a lot of things out. You know, Buddy Wu over in the CGJ podcast is always saying, break the game. This is a great way to do that. Test new balance. And I guarantee we'll find things. If you give people a sandbox, they will work out the problems of the games themselves. Like, did either of you play Halo? The best parts of Halo were always the game modes that came out of the Forge, like giving people the tools to play around. And I don't know, like Clash needs something like that.
Well, I mean, they have the dev mode. That's what the dev mode is now.
Well, yeah, but not everyone has that. You know, there's
50
right. People in the world who have that.
I know.
You need all the monkeys out in the world typing on these typewriters to brute force out the perfect new game modes and balance.
Lovely imagery.
All right, Spencer, do you have anything to say about rank mode?
Nope.
All right. So you had brought up the other post that we have in the agenda today too, about potential magic items to be added to the game. You want to take us through those?
This was a really interesting post. A concept for 6 magic items. Let's go through them and then we'll talk about each one. The first one is called an ore jar, and by using this, you fill all of your ore storages by 25%. What do you guys think about that?
I like it. Anything that helps me progress faster is an automatic yes for me. But ores, I don't know how much value they add to the game, so I...
What?
No, what?
No. I mean, like, as in, no, like, I know they add value to the game, but, like... it's not my main focus. Like, I don't feel like it's going to be the time blocker to being fully maxed. I feel like it's more just quitting. But yeah, like, for me, I don't know how justified it is, but I feel like buying ores from the trader doing events might just be a waste, because you'll get them anyways through clan wars and bonuses.
Golly said the exact thing I was about to say, is that it's a band-aid and it doesn't address the real problem. It's too much. We don't get enough ore. We have too much equipment, and all of that needs to change. So giving us a magic item is, you know, even for a portion of ore or all this stuff, like, it's a band-aid that doesn't address the actual problem, is that they are out of their damn minds with the rate of progression on this stuff.
My only feedback was, why not just max our storages of ore rather than 25%?
Oh god, that would be so insanely overpowered. Like, that would never happen. Like, this is, ore is 100% designed to be a moneymaker. It's not designed to be a fun mechanic. Equipment is a fun mechanic, and ore is how they monetize it. So completely bypassing something that's so slow by design, we're never going to get a rune of ore. Like, that will absolutely never happen. I don't know, like, I'd be insanely shocked if we get any kind of item to just give ore. I could see something maybe like a star jar on the main village to get us a second daily bonus. Maybe even that feels like not like something Supercell would consider.
Or maybe it was in Clan Game Awards. That could be another avenue.
I know, like, I don't want to discount ideas too, but just like, because I always feel like I'm standing up for Supercell's profits, which isn't the case. I'm just trying to be realistic with what I think they'll go with.
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right, going to the next concept. It's a hammer specifically for equipment, and using it on equipment will upgrade it by 2 levels. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I like it, another hammer. Would you have it purchased then only through CWL, or would you be able to buy it otherwise? Like, if it's just CWL, then is 2 levels enough? I mean, I suppose, yeah. It's like people who buy Hammer of Heroes.
Yeah, like, the problem with that, though, that I think is another, like, non-starter would be that, like, obviously you would use those on the levels that require huge amounts of glowy or huge amounts of starry, and those are the ones they really want to sell you. So being able to selectively skip those specific upgrades and only use shiny is probably way too overpowered.
Yeah. The next one is a kind of like a boost potion that adds 5 levels to all of your equipment for an hour.
That's something I think is more realistic. Probably out of this whole post, that's probably the most realistic thing as far as the ore and equipment ones go. I know it's something creators are asking a lot for too, but it's just a way for people to test out equipment and play with it and see what helped them make a better educated decision where to invest their ore. Something like that's really needed, even if it's just, you know, a copied version of the Super Troop test map, but with equipment. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I don't know if the +5 is still linked to how we used to have +5 hero levels. And in that case, should that not have max levels? Because then it would be more similar to the hero potions and the power potion. But unrelated, I really like the name of it, the smiting potion. It reminds me of this scene in Bruce Almighty. Smite me, almighty smiter, or something. So, yeah.
Right, the next one is one I don't really like. It's a shield potion. It says using this adds 3 hours of shield to your home village. You could just buy a shield with gems. So I don't really see any use.
I mean, you could buy training boost with gems. You could buy resource boost with gems too. So I don't think that's immediately a way to rule it out. But for a 3-hour shield, like, I cannot tell you the last time I paid attention to my shield length on any of my accounts, whether they're actively upgrading or not.
Only time I might have even bought a shield was if I wanted to protect a lot of resources I had. But
you can only lose so much, you know, and you'll get it back in 1 to 2 attacks yourself. It's like a useless mechanic to me. Like, I get why it exists still, but it's nothing that I like plan my game session around.
The next one is a key that you use on your town hall, and it gives you the town hall boost, which is builder boost, resource boost, training boost, and all that good stuff for 12 hours. What do you think about that one?
I personally like that because it allows us to have more control over the boost. Oh, I suppose, I mean, you every 12 or 24 hours, but it allows you to unlock and have more flexibility in when you want to use them and activate them. So I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, like, a give me everything boost, you know, like, we can dream, but again, something I don't know is realistic at all.
And the last one is a trading coin. You go to the trader and you get a free pick from the trader.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool. But yeah, realistically, how would they implement that? Or will they? That is the question.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff just feels like ways to not pay for stuff that are clearly designed to be sold. You know, like they're not expecting to sell many Dark Elixir runes for 3,000 gems. Obviously, it's just, you know, that price is there in the trader to, you know, solidify that, hey, maybe buying a rune of Elixir for $5 in the shop is worth it because, you know, it looks like it costs $30 in gems. You know, they're probably not expecting to sell many of those gem-wise, but I mainly wanted to talk about this post, too, after you showed it to me, Spencer, because I hope they don't go the route of addressing our ore complaints through magic items, because it feels like it's not actually addressing it. It's just kind of giving us a different avenue to spend money on to achieve the same goal, and it feels really lazy.
Thank you, CWERKZ, for that post. And I really like it when, you know, users have these ideas, and I don't want to feel like we kind of, you know, always talk like just discredited all their ideas. So thank you for posting the idea, and hopefully you don't take our talking about it as, you know, yeah, too negative.
Oh, yeah, those are some of the best posts that I see on Reddit, our concepts.
We'll put links to the post we did talk about, too. I know C-Works, or however you say it, did design like all the magic items themselves, and those are actually really good. Those were done really well, and I think some of them are like do have potential. So I know I was pretty negative about them all too, but I, you know, hope I didn't come across like a jerk over it.
No, of course not.
No, it's fine. You can say that, Liam. You call me a jerk all the time, anyway.
What? I've never.
Liam is so mean behind the scenes, guys.
Yeah, right. Sam wants to know how many embarrassing stories we told about Liam. Not all of them, I guess. We'll save more for future episodes.
The answer is none, because there are none. There we go. Moving on.
Oh, like you don't want to take that challenge.
Liam. No.
Liam, I don't think is capable of being mean. I think he.
Well,
he can come across as very mean and very cold, but I don't think it's ever intentional.
Yeah, it's always.
Yeah, like, have you ever had a puppy who is playing and then bites you and draws blood? It's just because they don't know that, like, that is. Liam is a puppy in so many ways.
That's how we play. That's how we show our affection, you know?
You can't even be mad at him because he just. Because you feel bad afterwards. All right. Let's go through shout-outs and announcements. Spencer, you have an interesting one on the agenda.
I wanted to give a shout-out to the community manager, Ferry. He's been active on Reddit and responding to some people being critical of him. And his responses were really good, and I think he's doing a great job so far. So shout-out to him.
Yeah, Ferry has been super cool, too. I know he's working with the Discord mods, too, and they're going to have the Discord side of the house is going to have some really cool stuff coming up over the whole next year. So you guys keep an eye out on the announcement channel for that. Liam, what do you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to shout out all my clanmates who have helped me stay in the game and are always helpful and supportful. And yeah, that just leads to a much better environment, clan environment. And yeah, thank you to all my clanmates for still sticking with your dictator leader after all these years. So I appreciate y'all.
I have a couple too. Galadon reached out and asked permission to use a couple of our clips. And, you know, like we of course said yes. And he featured a lot of our interview with Ferry. In a video he posted, what's yesterday for us. I don't know when anyone's listening. But, you know, super classy to reach out and ask permission like that. Thank you very much, Galadon. And he had a lot of kind words to say about the podcast as well. So, awesome. Shout out to Galadon. And then also C-Note, host of the Clash Force podcast, had me on an episode pretty recently. We had a great time. You should go check that out if you're not tired of hearing me ramble on too much. And I know he has a really cool episode planned coming up. I don't want to spoil it too much, but go and give him a sub. And Clash Tours is a really good one. So that's all I got to say there. So anything else before we close it out, guys?
Nope, that's it for me.
Then also a reminder for everyone else still here, when you download this episode, right alongside next to it will be another episode. I had an interview with Jake from One Hive that we're going to publish at the same time as this. So keep an eye out for that. And when you subscribe or head to the YouTube channel, look, there's going to be two posted simultaneously. One is this episode. The other is the Jake interview. Check those out. Give us feedback on them all. Thank you very much. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, everyone. See ya.
And remember to look out for the Rubble Rumble rewards. Those unlock March 29th and will last for 4 days.